Well, let's turn this evening to Hebrews, and we want to draw your attention to verse 33, as we are now going through this incredible book, and it is one incredible chapter, I have to say. In all the things I've ever taught, this has really challenged me to the max. But it's been a great book, and we've taken a look at different perspectives of faith and how faith is not only individual, but it's also a corporate. We saw that when Israel walked around the Red Sea, or walked through the Red Sea, it says they walked through the Red Sea. And when they walked around Jericho, it says they walked around Jericho, speaking of Israel. And the thing that I think has fascinated me personally is just God has just done something deep in my own heart to realize that no matter how weird you are, God still wants to use you. And that, for me, that's a wonderful thing. Because you can get pretty ballistic and pretty out there, and all of a sudden you're kind of murmuring, complaining, and then God gives you tremendous faith. And you pull through, and God just puts your name in the book of life. And God has a way of surprising people. And oftentimes, the ones that we say will never make it, they become the presidents and leaders and corporate leaders and Bible teachers, and we just don't understand. We have all the giftings. We have everything. We're not doing nothing but setting. Well, it's because you know you're gifted, and you know you're great, and you know you're good, and God doesn't need you. He's looking for those that are crying out, desperately in need, and are scared to death to move without Him. And then God takes ordinary people, and He makes them extraordinary people. And He gets the praise and the glory. And so the thing that has stood out to me more than anything else is like last week with Rahab, the harlot. It's one thing getting her saved, but then putting her into the genealogy and Christ coming through that. You think, my goodness, none of us would do that. But God would do it as a trophy of grace. And then to take, you remember Ruth, a Moabite, who God hated the Moabites. And yet God placed Ruth in that genealogy, and it was her that married Boaz. And so we see part of the genealogy. And then again Tamar, who tricked Judah and dressed up like a harlot, went to bed with Judah because Judah wasn't going to give his son to her. And he had a good reason. The last two boys died. And so he probably was a little concerned with the cooking. And so he wasn't going to lose a third boy. And so he made her wait and wait, and she got tired of waiting. So she deceived him, went in, slept with him, took the signet ring. And then when she was pregnant, Judah was going to kill her. She said, whoever this ring belongs to, he's the dad. Well, it was Judah. Well, that was the end of that whole story. So Judah said, you're a righteous woman. You went after that which I did not give you. And so God puts her in the genealogy. So you sit there and you think, it's not us, it's Him. It's not how good I am or how together I am. It's those moments where I just absolutely am honest before God. And so tonight, we're going to take a look at this guy named Barak. There's a lot I could share, all the different ones, but I kind of went after him, and there's a reason why. And it says here, faith which confesses. And so we're going to look at that tonight. A living by faith, a faith which confesses the reality of really true faith. And once again, you remember the book was written, the book of Hebrews, to those who were wavering. We're studying it on Sunday night. We're in chapter 2. Next week, we're in chapter 3 this Sunday. And those who were doubting and drifting. And so we see once again here in chapter 11, verse 32. And I want to read all the way down to verse 40 to kind of get the setting. And then we're going to come back and look at one verse, and then we're going to look at one guy tonight. It says, and what shall I say more? In other words, I could keep on talking for the rest of my life about people who really believe in God. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, of Samson, Jethro, of David, also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Who did that? Daniel. Who stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the fiery fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fighting, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured. Now, this is what we don't like, others. All those had miracles and God delivered them. And then there are the others who were tortured, not accepting to be delivered, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mocking, scourging, yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Now, who was sawn asunder? You remember? Isaiah. He was put between two trees and sawn in half. They didn't have chainsaws back then, so it was pretty slow and painful. He was sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. In other words, they were so together with God, the world had nothing on them. And the world was not even worthy to have them in their presence. That's what he's saying. Because they had such a tremendous faith in God, it's just a blessing you're here because you turned the tide of evil. And so the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. We know Moses did that. And in mountains, in dens, and in caves of the earth. All these are having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be perfect. And so what he's saying is that life as a Christian can be tested big time. And sometimes God can deliver you. And sometimes God wants to deliver you. Sometimes you're going to die. Sometimes you're going to be persecuted. Sometimes you're going to be destitute. But it doesn't make a difference because we made a commitment not to leave him. And so we have taken the understanding that though you slay me, you're stuck with me. I'm not leaving because I found a good thing when I found you, Jesus. And so if this is what it's going to take for 60 years of my life, one day I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. So nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Principalities, powers, darkness, doesn't make a difference. Nothing is going to take me away from my relationship with you. And nothing is going to lay any guilt to my life. And nothing is going to condemn me at all. And so they made a decision and they were heading towards a promise. The promise of the Messiah, a promise that they would not see, but they took that promise and that promise guaranteed that they would be part of the kingdom of God. Now, we have Christ, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the light, and we forget every day, oftentimes, that God is for us, not against us. And so we focus way too much upon the things of the world. We look way too much on the things we're suffering. And if we suffer or go through difficult times, or we begin to have a little bit of hardship in our life, it means that either God doesn't love us, or God doesn't care, or God doesn't really want to do anything in our lives. And that's not true. Your faith must be tested. And the only way that God can show you how strong your faith is to touch you. And when God touches you, or Satan touches you, or the enemy comes in as a flood, in those moments of weakness, when I begin to waver in doubt, when I begin to get an attitude, then God says very simply, when you are afflicted and you faint, then there's a weakness in your faith. And though God knew there was a weakness, and God saw it all the time, somehow you got blinded to the weakness. And you thought you were really, really strong because things were going your way. But God knew the moment something fell apart, something happened in your life, something was taken away, your faith would be challenged beyond recognition and you would explode and Satan would come in. And so God allows things to happen to show you. And so it says in Deuteronomy 8:2 that God led us through the wilderness these 40 years to try us, to prove us, and to show us what's in our heart. So it's the love of God that tests. And the testing is not to tempt you. It is to test you to purify the work of God in your heart. So you're going to go through things and you're going to have victory and you're going to get stronger. And as you get older, you're going to have more faith and God's going to help you. And you're going to look back and realize that, you know, God, you've been faithful. I need your help. And so the whole issue of faith is believing that God is with you and not against you. And if you don't turn to God, then your faith is not real strong. Because the moment something happens, you need to turn to God. The moment there's a misunderstanding, you need to bow a knee. The moment there's a little bit of anger, you need to turn towards the light. And if I'm not doing that, it's because either I'm stubborn, prideful, arrogant, or I just don't care. And those are unacceptable in the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says, blessed are they that are pure, and blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are they that are hungry. In other words, God is going to perfect, not this you perfecting this reformation theology, you doing it. You don't need to do that. You just love the Lord with all your heart, stay away from the legalism, and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to touch you when he wants to touch you. And so it might be a dating relationship, and God says, you know, I just don't think you guys are really good for each other. Oh, God, no, this is the one. No, I don't think so. I hate you, God. Well, God knew how you felt about him before you started dating. Because you hated him about other things when he took away the Tupperware. Or when you didn't get the Christmas present you wanted. Or when you gained the weight that you didn't want to have. Or, you know, when you started praying and people start dying. You know, he saw the attitude. And so God is able to chasten those whom he loves. Now, one verse tonight, in verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. And we know Gideon. He was the one that destroyed the Midianites. Once again, he was the farmer hiding inside the cave. God says, you're a mighty man. And Gideon says, who are you talking to? I'm hiding because I'm absolutely scared to death. He's the guy that put the fleece out. And so we use that fleece, which is not really biblical. He did the fleece because he didn't believe God. God told him that the Midianites were delivered into his hand. Because he didn't take God's word, he wanted God to prove it. So if it's wet and the ground is dry, then I know it's you. And then God did it. Then he reversed it, went the other way. I mean, God just was real patient. And finally, he still didn't believe. And so he went down, heard a dream, and finally he just went. And so we know the story. We taught that. They shouted. God gave him the victory. It was a wonderful thing, Gideon. At the very end of his life, got into idolatry and messed his whole life up. And then we see again the story of Barak. And that's who we're going to look at tonight. We'll skip that. Samson. I'm doing a series that you probably hear on the radio. Samson. He loved women. Those Philistine babes. He loved them. They had big eyebrows and, man, they could walk and they could talk it and they just were good-looking gals. And all these Israelites, you know, the Christian women, they're just not real pretty. What do you say? Let's go get a good heathen woman. You know, well, what do you want? You know, you want to have someone and do things and you don't want to get caught. It's not about Christian women are gorgeous. Heathens are gorgeous. Christian women have the light of God in them. Heathens have the devil. Who do you like more, the devil or the light? Well, I guess I like the devil. There you go. Now you're telling the truth. So we go out because we're hoping to get more things. It's all selfishness. And so Samson destroyed his life. And you remember the story. Don't touch anything that is dead. So he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men. Well, yes, he killed 1,000 men. Oh, that's great. But he picked up the dead animal. And then he was down in the vineyard. He was not to be around the grapes. He was in the vineyard. And then you remember he was not to cut his hair. And he said to Delilah, she said, tell me your strength that I might destroy you. And he was dumb enough to say, okay, cut my hair. And she did. Plopped his eyes out. He's blinded, walking around. That's our buddy Samson. 20 years, wasted his life. And then we took a look already at the life of Jethro. You remember he was an illegitimate child. He was mad. He was kicked out. He went out. Tremendous warrior. And when Israel was in need, they needed him. So they brought him back. And they said, listen, if you come back and fight, we'll make you a judge. And he said, you sure? And they said, yeah, so he went back and just did a number. He was a great guy. He was strong. And then it mentions David. You know David. He committed adultery, murdered Uriah, built the kingdom, had a heart after God. And then Samuel. Boy, what a great prophet, the son of, you know, Hannah. How he told Saul, the kingdom is ripped out of your hand. And so Samuel was faithful, ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's some great men. But when you come back to this one little guy, Barak, it really is quite an interesting story. And so I chose it because I thought, there's a message here that I really want to share with you. And it's a story that I think a lot of times we kind of get weird about because Deborah was the judge. But the reason why she was the judge was because there was not a guy willing to take leadership. It was a pathetic time in Israel in Judges chapter 4. And she really didn't want it, but she wasn't going to pass it up. And God was looking for an instrument, and so he used a woman. And God has used women all the way through the Bible. But there were no men willing to stand up and turn the tide. And she was a wonderful woman, powerful woman. And you know Deborah, that they loved her. She was the mother of Israel. She sang a song, and she had a general named Barak. And one day, she came to this guy Barak, and she said, listen, we're going to go out and destroy Sisera, Jabin, the king. So I want you to go and take 10,000 and set an ambush up and do it. And he comes back and says, well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. And she just looked at him. And he said what every man wants to say, I won't go unless you come. I mean, I'm going to be a little male chauvinist. I mean, come on, guy. Go fight. Deborah, I won't do it unless you come. Being gracious, she said, I'll go. So he went, and he annihilated the enemy. Powerful story. And for years, I thought, you know, Barak, get it together. What's wrong with you? You're a wimp. But then reading through this week, God put him in this book. Not Deborah, Barak. And it just bugged me. You know how things bug me? I just, well, why did you do that? Why would you put this guy in this chapter? And how in the world do you see faith when he wouldn't even go to war without a woman? And the Lord started ministering to me in a very interesting way. And I love women. I think the woman's ministry is powerful. I think women have a tremendous place. I think women basically run the church, personally. So I have nothing about male chauvinism. I mean, I think women are incredible servants of God. They're faithful. They're committed. They sign up for a woman's retreat. In 2 days, 700, we got to beg you, threaten you, do everything else, and take your house away if you don't go as guys. We're just lazy bums as guys. We just don't want to go. We don't want to sleep with a bunch of guys. We don't want to hear somebody tell us what's wrong. We know everything. We do everything. You can't tell us how to get there. We know how to drive. We have no idea. We lie. I mean, come on, give us a break here. See, a guy knows everything. And so when I looked at this story, I thought, you know, this is the story of stories. I want to teach you something tonight that might really help you. So you're laughing, everything else, but I'm going to turn on you big time. So be ready. What shall I say, Paul said, but more. Two things that really stand out in this man's life. When I look at it, I see a man's weakness, unwilling to go to war. Unwilling to go to war. It says in Judges in chapter 4, verse 8, and Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go, I'm not going to go. What a wimp. But then the Lord started to correct me. And I realized, I think he had it more together than me. So I have to confess. So I'm going to publicly change my feelings about this man. And I'm going to say, this guy is a real guy. Because he understood that he couldn't win without Deborah. So I want to teach you tonight, real faith is honesty. And secondly, real faith is humility. So I don't know what type of faith you have, but a faith that doesn't humble itself, or a faith that doesn't honor God, is not pleasing to God. Something he did put his name in this book. I want to know that. Something he did in his own heart secured his induction into the Hall of Faith. And I think two things stand out because there were no leaders and things were happening. So number one, very simply, he was honest. Very simple study that he was honest. It says in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Judges, "And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." In other words, why did he say it? And let me tell you why. He lived in a city. And that city was devastated by Jabin, the king, the enemy, destroyed the city he lived in. He had devastating understanding of the power of the enemy. They annihilated the city that he lived in because it was a city that was constantly attacked by Caesarea, constantly attacked. Also, I come to realize that his faith was faltering. In other words, he was afraid. He was afraid, he was wavering, and he was faltering. Now, you can blame him, and you can tell me he's not trusting God. But I don't see that anymore. I have more respect for this man because he could say, you know, I just don't have the faith to go. I just am double-minded because of what happened in the past. I would feel much better, Deborah, if you would come because you are the prophet of God. And I want your presence because if God has spoken to you, if you're here, I know we'll have the victory. I'll do the fighting, but I need you here. So the first thing I find about this guy is that he was not prideful. And that's the big thing I find with guys. I don't need counseling. You do need counseling. You're a mess. I can pull it together. You haven't done it for 30 years. You're not going to change. You need help. That's what happens with women. I'm not bitter or I'm not angry. Well, yes, you are. You need to get help or somehow go back to God. No, no, we can make it. No, I'll do the check account. You can't even find receipts. Well, she can do it better than let her do it. No, no, I'm the man. Oh, give me a break. You want to be rich or you want to be broke? In other words, there comes a time where you can't do everything. Oh, yes, I can. I'm the Marlboro man. I'm John Wayne. Well, maybe you're Don Knox. Maybe you're just not gifted. Maybe you got dyslexia. You can't, you know, you're always putting money in and you're broke. Well, give it up. No, I'm one tough guy. No, you're one ding-a-ling. It's like, I'll go through that wall. Great, go for it. So you hit the wall, blood. I can do it. Hit the wall. Great. 20 years, you're hitting the wall. And finally, God just says, you know, there's a door right over here. I'm gonna prove it. Where does faith accept weakness? Where does it come and play in a church? We hire people that say they can do these things. We give them an office and we give them support and we pay them and their pride gets in the way because they never come back. No one has ever come back and says, you know, I can't do this. Will you help me? Or, I don't know what I'm doing. I was faking it till I make it, but boy, I'm dying with 100 hamburgers and now I got 1,000 and I'm gonna bite and I know it's gonna catch up with me. I need help. So, real faith says, I need help. But because, oh, you're gonna get fired? And you're gonna lose what you're doing? Or your wife's not gonna respect you? Or the kid's not gonna like you because you can't catch a ball? Well then, have your wife catch ball with the kids. Maybe you're left-handed and left-brained and you just can't put the two together. And so your son throws a ball, hits you in the forehead. You feel like an idiot. Well, most people can catch a ball. Well, what do? Give the mitt to your wife and help him bat the ball. It's not embarrassing. What's embarrassing is lying. And I'm not afraid, and you're afraid. And I can pull it together when you can. And I can pull this marriage together when you know it's almost done. Or I can teach when I am not even studying. Or I can do all these things. And Barak says, you know, I'm not going to go. If you don't go, I ain't going. Well, why is that? Are you a wimp? No, I don't think so. I think he, A, was frightened. B, was devastated by this enemy. C, 900 chariots. D, she told him to get up and let them surround him for the ambush. Well, that's okay, but I'd feel a lot better if I knew that God was part of this whole plan. So Deborah, if you don't go, I'm not going. And what I want to share tonight, very simply, is honesty. You don't have to compete with your spouse or with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Well, I can ski. I'm a pretty good skier, you know. Then, you know, you hop on a bike and you run into the wall. Well, if you can't ride a bike, you probably can't ski. We love you for who you are, not because of what you can and can't do. And we love you because God's in you. And God made you the way He made you. And some are very coordinated and some are clumsy. And some are gifted and some are not. And some are talented and others are not. And sometimes you say, well, I'm going to be like Kevin. Well, Kevin was born with a talent. I mean, in his worst day, he could cut an album. In your best day, they're going to turn you off. So does that mean that you strive for this thing? No, you stop. Some people, like Michael Jordan, can net. It's a gift. It's a talent. Chuck Smith can a Bible study. Boom. You know, you can try to chase that or great glory with an afterglow or, a crusade. I'm going to be like great glory. No. You're going to be Steve Mays, period. And if you're going to live by faith, you're going to be honest that you're different. And if you don't understand that, I might want to use you greater than those guys, but I can't use you because you're constantly competing with something that I don't want. So, what are you going to do? You see, honesty among us is not very honest. We love to impress. And we love to boast that we can do it. And my wife says, you know, I got a good voice. And I just... She doesn't have a good voice. I tell her that. No, honey, good voice is... That's a Kevin. I got an okay voice. Honey, your gift is teaching, not singing. I'll sing in a bit. And please, don't. Please. Now, we're being honest. Now, if Kevin wants to come over and sing me, that'd be nice. Put him right to bed. Now, your gift might not be cooking. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. She's not a cook. That's why you put it in the brown bag, those turkeys, because it doesn't work. You can throw it away. It's already bagged and ready to go. You know? I mean, you're trying. You need to try. But maybe you just need to stay simple because you don't understand the foundations of cooking. That's okay. I mean, you can butcher a hot dog, but you love God with all your heart. Maybe your husband's a better... I got to be the cook. Let him cook. Don't be dumb. Let him cook. You got a night off. If he wants to go out there and impress you, let him cook. It's not going to hurt. Oh, no. I'm the woman. I'm the cook. You see, I think you need to do the best you can. But you need to accept the weakness in your life. And I know my weakness, and so I staff around my weakness. I don't like counseling, so I hire counselors. And I don't have patience. And so, you know, I have people, and I go right to the throat, just like I do right now, right to the throat. And all of a sudden you come in, can we talk to you? Sure, this is your problem. And you walk out, and what happened? Well, I just don't have a lot of patience. And I have that gift of discernment. I'm going to tell you exactly what's wrong. Oh. So now you don't even come near me. I don't want him knowing what's going on in my heart. Well, what is my gift? My gift is teaching. What is my weakness? My health? And sometimes inconsistency? Sometimes I get so locked into what I'm doing, I walk by people and don't say hi. Now, do I not like them? No, I'm so focused. I get on a warpath. Oh, I can't believe this. And Don and Rob have had to come beside me and take this missile and turn it out into the ocean, you know? That's what they're good at. I know that. So I gotta calm down and just teach. See, if I don't know that, then I'm gonna kill myself. And so it says here, very simply, Deborah said, I want you to go. And he said, no. I can't do it. I just can't do it. And he appraised the task. He appraised the task. He admitted his own fears. He addressed the situation. He avoided the shame. And he was honest with his leader. I can't do it. I had to tell Wendell the other day, talk to me about the insurance. I don't understand. And so he's telling me all the things we can't do. And I just, insurance people, I don't know what to say. But he's been in insurance for 40 years. He knows it. So I have to look to him and I trust him. But when it comes to trusting God, he looks to me. So we work each other, but that's his strength and other things are not. So we work together. So here, once again, he appraised it. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew that he was afraid. He knew that he needed help. And here's the key that really got to me. He knew he couldn't lead because he didn't have the measure of faith to do it. And he had enough wisdom before God to say, I need more faith. So would you come? And whenever a staff member or you in a corporate world go to somebody and say, help me, I don't understand this, you will be conceived as a very brilliant person. But the foolish pretend because their pride gets in the way, and then they make a huge mistake, and then it's shouted from the rooftop. You see, pride keeps you from being honest. Satan tells you that your husband's not going to like you when you tell him, I'm afraid to pray out loud. He's going to think you're unspiritual. Tell him you're afraid to pray out loud. Then do the Lord's Prayer together. Or tell her that things are happening. Oh, she's going to leave me. She's going to leave you if you don't tell her. In other words, faith has the ability to be honest. So that's the first lesson this guy taught me tonight. The second lesson, I think, is even more powerful. Barak was humble. Now, how do I know that? Well, I'm going to suggest in Judges 4 and 9, and she said, I will surely go with you. Okay, oh, praise God, you're going. Mother of Israel's going with me. Mama's going with me. I'm going to win this war. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou taketh shall not be for thy honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went. Now this is so, so cool. This is the killer of all things, I got to tell you. He wasn't offended. That tells me he was humble. If I say to you, okay, we'll do it that way, but you get no honor. What do you mean I don't get no honor? He didn't care. You see, it wasn't about him. Now check this out. He wanted to do one thing. What was it? He wanted to win the war at any cost. So it's not about who's in charge or who's doing this. It's about destroying the kingdom of Satan. It's about finding the gifts where we're at. It's about making the thing happen, being a team player. And so Deborah said, listen, I'm going to warn you, if you do this, if I have to go, you have lost your reward and they're going to honor me. He said, I don't care. I'm not into the glory. I'm into winning this battle. And I'm telling you, lady, I can't do it unless you come. So if you come, I can whip them. You can have the honor. I'm in this thing for the glory of God. I'll tell you what, my heart just sunk. Because this is where it all stops. You see, I can't be honest because I want the fame. Or I can't be honest because I want the respect Or I can't be honest because I don't want anybody knowing what really is going on in my heart. So I'm living a lie. He didn't do that. He said, hey, I'm afraid. I'm not going to go out there without you. And secondly, you can keep the glory. I'm not into that. I'm into winning this war. When you have that guy, you got a great guy. And so they sung the song of Deborah. You remember chapter 5? It was wonderful, but when it was all said and done, God just said, Barak, you're in. Deborah, you're out. And I believe that he's in this hall of faith for two reasons. Because he was honest about his faith. It was wavering, it was weak, he was a little insecure, but he wasn't afraid to say, you know, I got some problems. Will you help me? Will you come? Secondly, about the glory, the position, the honor, you can keep it. I'm here just to win this war for Jesus Christ. And if it was about his glory, he would have never gone. If it was about a position, he would have never gone. He didn't care. He was doing it for the glory of God. And so I finally come to realize his heart was for Israel. His heart was for the land. His heart was for victory. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 3:18, as we close up, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness for God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apostle or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And then one other in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And I suggest that this man, Barak, when he evaluated his faith, it wasn't great. But I tell you what, he had that gift of wisdom. And he won the heart of Deborah, won the heart of people, and you will never lose a job. You will never find yourself down and out if you do two things in your life. You're honest about yourself. And you humble yourself. And you make sure that it's not about you. It's about him. So it's not about me and my marriage. It's about Jesus Christ and my marriage. And therefore, Gail's gifted. In some areas, far better than I am. But I'm gifted in areas far better than she is in some areas. And together, we make a great team. When we fight, it's because of pride. She's either trying to exercise her authority, proving that she has a gift that's my gift, or I'm trying to convince her that her gifts are not good, that I have the gift, and I'm wrong. What do I need to do? Okay. You might buy this piece of property. Okay, step out. You know something? If you guys aren't behind it, I don't want it. Let's do it together. Secondly, you know, let's humble ourselves and say, you know, Lord, if you want it, great. If not, we don't care. You can never go wrong with that type of a guy. I suggest tonight, Barak was a very, very wise man. He wanted the presence of God, and he wanted this prophet right next to his side because she said, it's yours. Fine. You stand here. I'll get rid of the reward, but I want the victory, and I'll get it for you. That's all I want to do. I'm a servant.